Start of the Trailway, Northwest London. Monday, 25th of October, Yud Tes Cheshvan, Rabbi Yaakov Rabin, hosting and visiting.
Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Yisai. It's truly a pleasure and an honor to be back once again speaking to you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided, whatever his cheshbeinus were, that we had to have this hiatus of 2 years, but it's truly a pleasure to be back, and I've been waiting to see this year for some time, and Minas Shemayim worked out, in the shadow of Parshas Vayera, that the shiur that I wanted to give for some time is now so appropriate. L'mayis, we have to know that all the mitzvahs of chesed, which a person does with his body or with his money, they're all under the umbrella of the Ahavta L'Recha Kamecha, which of course we know Rabbi Akiva said the famous klal on that mitzvah, Zeh klal gadol b'Torah. So we should appreciate what we're doing, what we're going to be talking about today, the idea of hosting. Much of what I'll be saying today is based on a sefer called Halichas Olam, which subsequently was translated into a book in English called Journey to Venture by Rav Avram Ehrman. If anybody would like to see some of these ideas inside, they're welcome. Now, of course, we should know, with the mitzvahs bein odom l'chaveray, a person can very much think he's doing the mitzvah perfectly and being so thoughtful and considerate, and if he doesn't really know what he's doing, he can easily botch it up and not fulfill the mitzvah. These halachas, many of them are not written in Shulchan Aruch. However, we find that the Chofetz Chaim, in the Sefer Avos Chesed, he was malakit the halachas from Divrei Chazal, and I'm going to bring many of them down, and most of them, many of them are indeed based on the Chumash as well, as we know, the famous klal, Maisa Avos Simin Labonim. What the Avos did, their actions, are for us a direction how to lead the children. Now, the Maisa, we find that the first time we see that in the Torah, the mitzvah of Achnasas Orachim, we find, this was of course in the Parsha which we just read, Parshas Vayera, with the famous story of Avram Avinu and the three Malachim which he hosted. This tremendous mitzvah, of course, we have to understand where it's coming from. How great is this mitzvah? We should know that the Torah says, in Chazal it says, "V'gedayl hachnasas orchim mikabolas p'nei shashchina." Doing hachnasas orchim is even greater than mamish receiving the shchina, being in touch, being connected with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. As we know, Hakodesh Baruch Hu himself was visiting Avram Avinu. That's the second part of the shir, by the way, visiting the ill, visiting the sick. But Hashem was visiting Avram Avinu, and Avram Avinu looked up, and it says, "V'yavinei shloisha anoshim." So what's with Hashem? Hashem's on hold. Hashem, I got a mitzvah to do. And Hashem was put on the side, showing us how important the mitzvah is. Many people may not be aware, but the Rambam actually brings down in Hilchas Avedus, in Perek Dalet, Halacha Beis, he brings down that someone who's muchzak in the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim, it's a segula for having children, something which people may not necessarily be aware of. I want to tell you personally that many years ago, when my wife and I, we first bought our home in Beit Shemesh, we were the 8th religious family to move into Beit Shemesh, incidentally, going back almost 30 years ago. And when we bought our home, we were zeichet to have a 3-bedroom flat, and it was quite empty, just me and my wife. We had the junk room, and we had a guest room. That was something we said we were going to make. And even though we had the guest room, Lamaisa, it wasn't getting come out any use. One night we were sitting and talking, just before falling asleep, you know? Like, it's such a shame. Like, we had this beautiful guest room, and, like, why? It's like, we have to do something about it. We have to be mischazik in Achnasas Orchim, we said to each other. And it was about, believe it or not, it was almost 11 o'clock at night, and suddenly there was a knock on the door. A knock on the door. These things happen only in Eretz Yisrael. A knock on the door at 11 o'clock. I look through the cooker, the peephole, and I see a little old man, and I open the door. And he says, Shalom Aleichem. He says, I'm a good friend of Rav Moshe Rubin. Rav Moshe Rubin Zatzal was the founder of Od Yosef Chai, a very big tzedakah project from Brooklyn, New York, and a Rosh Kailel for many years, and we was lucky to have him in the building. And I used to come visit Rav Moshe, he said, and sleep by him, and he would put me up, and I see Rav Moshe's out of town, he's not home. And I was wondering if maybe you know someone who has an extra room that I could stay overnight because there's no bus back at this time. That was in the good old days when there were like two buses a day to Beit Shemesh Yerushalayim. So my wife and I were looking at each other, can it be? This is like we were just talking about this, being mischazik. And Lamaisa, lo and behold, you could count the months, Baruch Hashem, we were zecha to have our first son. Not that much long after that, Baruch Hashem. Now, I'm going to give you a shaila. Imagine you're sitting at your desk at work, and before you get home, you get two emails on a Thursday afternoon. One is from your neighbor. He's asking you, maybe your guest room is available this Shabbos. Why? Because he has a rich uncle from Switzerland who's flying in for business this weekend, and he needs a place to stay. And guess what? He's in the same line as you. He makes fine precision watches from fine Swiss chocolate. And Lemaisa, it's just your line. What an excellent opportunity. It's good to have connections in Switzerland, yeah? The second email comes in a few minutes later, and it's from a chaver in Eretz Yisrael, saying he has a neighbor who's coming to London this weekend to raise money to marry off his daughter, a poor man. You don't know him from Adam. And he needs a place to stay for the weekend. So who do you invite? This is what we call a no-brainer. Obviously, you're going to invite the nice Swiss businessman. He'll be pleasant, talking, you know, and he's in right in your business, exactly. So that's what you would think, but you have to know something. Even though the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim equally applies to both the rich and the poor, hosting a poor person, however, provides you with an additional mitzvah, tzedakah. So having a poor person at as your guest is giving you mamish much, much more star to welcome him. And in the words of Chazal, the Gemara in Brachas in Chagiga, Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, and Brachas Daf Yud Amud Beis, mentions the great schar about hosting poor people. And it says as follows, "U'cheshemachil oni al shulchanoi," when a person feeds a poor person on his table, "nechshav kekorban al mizbeach," it's mamish like being makriv a korban on a mizbeach. "V'imu talmud chocham," and what if he's a talmud chocham as well, "nechshav keilu hikriv tmidin," it's as if he brought mamasha korban tomi, which is amazing. What happens if a person doesn't like the idea? Well, I don't know these people, you know, I don't know who they are, whatever, I'm poor, all kinds of reasons the Yetzer Hara could bring not to host. And what if a person decides he doesn't want to go ahead and benefit the Talmud Chacham from his property, from his possessions? He has a tremendous punishment. He won't see a blessing in all of his possessions. And obviously, as you understand, as we said before, this is a no-brainer. Of course, you're going to take the guest from Eretz Israel. Now, the next halacha, which I want to mention, may not necessarily apply, and probably wouldn't apply during a pandemic, but it's worth knowing. A person who's feeling unwell does not have a patur from doing the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim. Person has a little headache, a little backache. You know, I don't have a cheshik to have ghosts this weekend. But there's somebody in need of a host. So Lemaisa, we know this is learned out from Avraham Avinu, that despite the pain which he was having from his bris, we all know that on day three, it was the height of the pain, he ran to host the Malachim. So we see from here, that teaches us, myself, a similar money once again, how important it is to know, even if you're under the weather, even if you're in pain, you still have, if you're able, if you're capable, the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim. Now, obviously, of course, pain from a bris is not very contagious, so there's nothing to worry about. But when the contagious factor is an issue, obviously one understands one would not invite guests, of course. But if it's not, surely there's a tremendous mitzvah, and even more, because Lefum Sarah Agra. The more difficult the mitzvah is, the greater the reward is. Now, you should know there's also there's a great added benefit as well, which is worth knowing, and that is the benefit of chinuch. When your child sees that you don't just do Achnasas Orchim when you feel good and everybody's feeling, as we say in America, hunky-dory, yeah? When you go ahead and you invite the guest and it's hard for you, your kids see, wow, Tati really exerts himself. Even though he's not feeling it soon, he's still bringing guests. It's a tremendous chinuch for the children. And I might even suggest, instead of just having the children witness you doing Achnasas Orchim, get them involved as well. Let the child bring a nice cup of tea, a drink, for the guest who's there, and let him be part of the mitzvah, set up the room together for the guest, and that way he's involved. And this, of course, obviously, is learned out as well from Psukim, as we see, as it says in the pasuk, "Vayikach ben bokor rach v'toiv." Avram went and he took lemaisa, a fine tender animal, and v'yiten el anar, he gave it to the nar. What does Rashi say over here? Rashi says on the spot, "Ze Yishmael lachan choy b'mitzvus." That was Yishmael, to teach him the mitzvah of nasas ochim. And now, basically, we have the general idea of how great the mitzvah is. It's good to go through some of the step-by-step halachas, which we'll learn out many of them from the psukim themselves. First of all, very important to know, it's a mitzvah to welcome, look for, and welcome your guest with enthusiasm. This is tremendously important, as we see Avram Avinu did it. Vayar vayoratz likrasam. Avram Avinu didn't stumble along, didn't say, Shuldix, Rabbeisai, Kumtarain, you know, like he went out and he ran towards them, showing them he wants them to come. I can tell you, it's a tremendous thing when a person says to you and shows you he wants you, instead of saying, well, if you don't have a place, if you're really stuck, I guess we could find a place for you. Like, don't acquiesce, you know, like, thank you very much. Like, you don't have much cheshek to go to such a person. But Lamaisa, I had a beautiful story just last week. I was in Gateshead, and I went to daven in the Yeshiva Katana. My host, Lamaisa, suggested if I'm looking for a nice slow davening, that's the place to go. And after davening, the Rosh Yeshiva, Rebbe Israel Yaffa, if anybody knows Rebbe Israel Yaffa, very big tzaddik, he came over to me with his long white beard, and I was already expecting the usual questions after davening when someone meets you in England. You know, like, which Rebbe are you? Right? Who's your shver? Right? Where did you learn? And all these are like, you know, now we've boxed you, we've categorized you, we know exactly who you are, okay? Now we can talk, right? No, what did he say to me? The first question was, maybe you'd like to come to my house for breakfast. Do you have a place? Are you sorted out? That's what he asked me. Amazing thing. He was Mekayim the Mitzvah Mamish Kehiduro. Beautiful thing. The next halacha we have to know is that anybody comes from a journey, usually speaking, anybody comes from a journey feels unclean. He wishes to wash up a little bit, to refresh himself, to clean his hands, especially if a person, let's say, flew from New York to London via Afghanistan or Greece or Turkey, you know, one of these third world nations, right? Where even the lounge is like your bathroom. Basically, you know, you don't really want to sit down and eat right away. So the first, most important thing is, as we see from the pasuk that says, "Yukach no ma'at ma'im v'rachatzu raglechem," make sure you offer your guest facilities, show them, and make sure that they're clean as well. Very important to go into a home where you offer the facilities. Obviously, it would be a mitzvah to check your facilities before offering their use. Make sure the previous guest did not leave a souvenir for the new guest, and I might also say, providing soap. Sometimes a person can find themselves in an environment where it just doesn't even have a bar of soap. Now, a bar of soap is very important to know. A bar of soap, something small which a person never thought about, but to give a guest to use a used bar of soap that was on somebody else's body is not necessarily the most appetizing thing to do, especially if it was last used by your Uncle Harry, Tarti Mashma. So, Lamaisa, you don't really want to make sure have your guest be in an environment where he doesn't feel he can really clean himself up and he'll have to run to the mikveh as soon as possible to get clean. Another thing you should know is that it's a big mitzvah upon the arrival of your guest. When he comes in, give him a chance to rest. Very important. People are often tired from a journey, and to get them involved, oh, let's catch up, sit down on the couch. You schmooze away, the guy's like ready, he wants to just put his head down for a few minutes to rest. So make sure, as you know, because the pasuk says as well, Avraham was makbid for that. As he said, Hishanu tachas ha'eitz, you should rest under the tree. Now, if your guest may not want to rest, so it's kedai to try and cater to their needs. The best host which I've had over the years are the hosts which say to me, what's your agenda for the day? To know, where are you holding? It can very often happen. A guest could come in, and he might be very, very hungry, especially as it can happen, his special kosher meal was replaced with a special halal meal, and he didn't have what to eat on the plane, so he could be very hungry. And he may not feel so comfortable. He may be a little bit embarrassed to ask for a meal. So what's very important to know is it's often a mitzvah to put down a meal, lay out food. If he sees that something's been set up, he doesn't feel awkward going ahead and sitting down and having this meal. But it can happen as well. Many a time, I know myself, I can arrive to a city, and I already have appointments set up. I'm supposed to be going out in about 20 minutes to see people on behalf of my kailo, and I have only 20 minutes to be here, and I don't really have time. Oh, sit down, wash. I'm just going to start boiling the eggs. You know, like, okay. Oh, no, don't do that, please. I don't have time. I have 20 minutes. So if you see that your guest does not have time to eat, it's a mitzvah to go ahead and offer something a little bit light, something to tide him over, and let him know that he has a meal waiting for him when he comes back. That's a very, very important thing. And Lemaisa, not to delay the guest, and that also Avraham Avinu showed us this sensitivity from the pasuk which says, "Ve'eklofas lechem," I'm going to take some bread for you, "Va'achatavayu," and then go, and then you can go on. Meaning, a person sometimes has to go and move on. One should serve his guest, ideally, a full and satisfying meal. It's very, very important, even if you personally are a person who's, let's say, you're on a big diet, or you're a person who likes to be, you know, a poirish from Olam Hazeh kind of a thing. So, you know, you offer him not only bread with salt, you even give him a spread, you know, one spread. Put out everything. Even if you have no money, it's worth borrowing money to serve lavish portions. Don't offer him string bean after string bean. One, another, would you like another string bean? Obviously, show him that he should feel that money is not an issue. If he feels that you're tight on money, he'll be choking on every bite and he won't feel at home. And of course, we have to know, making your guest feel at home is essential. It's very, very important to know that when your guest feels that he has his needs sorted out, he's able to rest up, he's able to have a very successful visit and enjoy his visit. But sometimes a person might think, oh, I'm the best host in the world. I told him, make yourself at home. Just make yourself at home. That happened to me several years ago. By the way, a disclaimer, many of you know who my hosts in London are, so I'm letting you know all these stories have nothing to do with my host from the last 10 years, 15 years, okay? Nothing to do with these people. So, Lemaisa, it happened to me once that a guest said, you know, Rabbi, just feel at home. And then he went out. So, what I do, I went to the fridge, I opened up the fridge, I was very hungry, and I looked inside and I saw, look at that, there's two yogurts. It's a couple, it's a husband and wife, no kids. And I look inside and I see, what does he have? Two yogurts, two, count them, two. What does that mean? His and hers, basically. There's his and hers yogurts. So who am I going to deprive? Am I going to eat a yogurt? I couldn't take one yogurt if there's two yogurts there. Obviously, that was very awkward. I went to the fruit bowl. Maybe I'll have a fruit to tide me over. Two apples, again, two, magic number two. So like, this was really, really getting more and more difficult. So I looked in the pantry, what do you have? Some pasta and rice and, you know, nobody around to cook them. I wouldn't know how to cook these things. So Lemaisa, it was a very, very sad situation. This was in the days before Kosher Kingdom had ready to go sandwiches and sushi. So it was a nightmare. Basically, we found ourselves in the nearest restaurant having a meal. Now, you should know, it's not only is it a mitzvah to sit down with the guest, but it's actually a mitzvah to even serve the guest. As we know, Avraham Avinu said, "Behu oimed aleim tagas ha'eitz." He stood over them, vayochelu, and then they ate. Very important, of course, to make sure that the guest feels, as we said, welcome. And not only that, but the guest feels important. He has to feel, you feel privileged to have him here. If you give the guest the feeling that it's a burden to host this person, he won't be very, very happy to stay by you. And now let me ask you a technical question, if I may. How do you know if you're sleeping on a mattress? How do you know if it's a spring mattress or if it's a foam mattress? So I'll tell you one answer. If you're tossing and turning for about 10 minutes to avoid being stabbed by the springs, you've discovered it's a spring mattress. Now, I might suggest that you not put your guest through such an ordeal, as can very well happen. A person has to know when they're providing a bed is a basis. When a person comes to be hosted, he needs to rest up, he needs to be a mensch. And when you give a you have to know what your facilities are. Check what you have. a person's giving a mattress which is like a, you know, they had like 4G, 5G. He had like a 4G mattress, the fourth generation. He used it, his kids used it, his grandchildren. Now, okay, instead of throwing it out, give it to the guest. You put it in the guest room. The guest room's not the last place to put your old used furniture. The guest room should be the first place. To give the nicest, the most comfortable bed to the guest is a mitzvah indeed to do. And lemaisa, very important to check. Small things, person may not realize it. You're giving a guest to stay in the guest room. Why don't you spend the night there and take a shower there? You ever go into a guest room, take a shower, and the shower head falls on your head in the middle of a shower? By the way, that's not why I have this cut. Yeah. So lemaisa, that's something you should check it out. Know your facilities. And now that we're sort of spoken out many of the main mitzvahs in Achnasas Orchim, something which is very essential is, Chazal say, go to Leviyas Orchim Me'achnasas Orchim. The escorting the guest on their way is no less, but even a greater mitzvah. In the days of Chazal, it was considered a danger to go out on the way. There were often bandits and there were highway robbers. And if your guest doesn't really know which road, how to get out to the main road, which is supposedly more safe, so then you obviously have a mitzvah to take him out. Even Chazal talk about various shiurim are discussed in the Gemara. How much do you need to see the guest out? But today, bandits on the roads are not so common, except maybe in Afghanistan, as we mentioned before. Today, we're more worried about computer hijackers and that kind of thing, but not really pirates and bandits so much. So the poskim of Bizmanenu say, Dai Medalat Amos. It's enough to see the guest out for Amos. And, of course, it goes without saying, if you have a guest like myself who has a very bad sense of direction, so it might be kedai to do a little more than Dalat Amos. Make sure he knows which way he's supposed to go. Now, I'd like to move on to the second part of the shiur, which is visiting. And particularly, I'd like to talk about visiting the sick, because that was the mitzvah, which we saw in the parsha we just read this Shabbos, as Avraham Avinu received the very first visit as he was recovering from his bris, from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. None other than the Eibishter himself came to visit Avraham Avinu. The Chofetz Chaim has a beautiful diuk from this. The Chofetz Chaim learns that there are no social distinctions whatsoever when it comes to visiting the sick. A wealthy, distinguished person, a very honorable rabbi, all these people are not puter from visiting people who are much lower than, much less than a socioeconomic status or whatnot. It's a very big mitzvah, and we know very great people go out of their way and visit the sick. It's no chiddush for us. Now, lemaisa, we should know the importance of this mitzvah. I think anybody who was awake when he said lemaisa birkas haTorah knows that it's mentioned, of course, in Elu Devarim Shodom Eichel Periseyam Boi Lamazeh, Karen Kemes Loi Boi Lamabo, and of course, Bikur Chaylim is obviously one of the most important mitzvahs, as we all know every day we mention it. What's very important to know about the mitzvah of Bikur Chaylim is the mitzvah is intended for the benefit of the patient, the one who's lying ill. It's not for you. Person who has a shaila he wants to ask, he needs an eitz in business, he wants to get some kind of chizuk, it's not the time to go to the rav who's lying in the hospital. If it's all for you, don't go. That's not the point. The mitzvah is for the benefit of the sick person. And Lamaisa, Rabbi Ehrman, in his Sefer, lists very, very conveniently six things that a person can do to achieve the mitzvah Bikur Chaylim. And any of these six things, they are not obviously one dependent upon the other, they're mutually independent. Any of them and all of them constitute fulfilling the mitzvah Bikur Chaylim. And I'd like to go through these items. The first thing that a person can do in helping the sick, visiting the sick, is calling a doctor. Making sure they have the best physicians available to assist them. Very often a person go to the hospital, rely on whoever happens to be on duty that day, and to not realize this could be a bit more complicated, seek advice. We have medical experts, we have people in Eretz Yisrael, Rafir, Benny. Forgot his name offhand. There are Benny Fisher. There are very, very great people who are experts and can advise. Also, going and just calling a nurse, getting someone to be there. I have to tell you, I have extensive experience because my Shreya Olav HaSholem was very often in the hospital in the latter years of his life. And I can tell you that medical personnel who see that family take an interest, they will go the extra mile. They realize this person is being watched, he's being monitored, he has family here, and they go and they will do more for that person. He's taken much more seriously. And obviously the patient himself feels good because he knows he's being represented. He's not lying alone. Another thing, the second item is obtaining medicines for the person. Very often hospitals don't carry all the medications which a person might be used to. Person just shouldn't assume, a family member or a close friend shouldn't assume he's in the hospital, they have everything. It's not true. Hospitals often don't have some of the less common medications, they don't have some of the more expensive medications, and even, believe it or not, just helping him with some of the simple things. Simple things like, for example, non-conventional homeopathic remedies, which can give a person, take away pains and things like that, as well, eye drops, hand cream, the things that make a person feel comfortable, that's something that you can offer, which the hospital doesn't necessarily think about. The third item is keeping him company. Being with somebody, but obviously, as we know, keeping a person who's sick company is intended for his benefit. He has to be comfortable with that. It's brought down, of course, in the Paiskim, that a person who's suffering from a gastrointestinal disorder, somebody has a stomach issue, obviously that could lead to embarrassing moments. So one should know and find out if he would appreciate having visitors or not. Something you should check into if that's the case. And obviously one should make sure that you are there, of course, for the fourth item, to uplift his spirits. People who are lying in a hospital all day, all night, it can be very depressing. It can be very, very, it can really lower a person's spirits. And just like we mentioned before, we mentioned when we were talking about hosting your guest, don't burden your guest, we mentioned, with all of your problems. Your business is under financial collapse. You're about to have a financial collapse, chas v'shalom. That's not the time to tell your guest. So too, when you're visiting somebody, don't tell him your problems. Oh, I have this kid, Nebuch, who's going off the derech. I don't know what to do with him. Like, he doesn't need to worry about your problems. You deal with your problems. That's not the time to share them with him. Give him what he likes. Give the person what he likes. A person, for example, who's suffering from broken ribs, don't tell him jokes. Don't bring a comedian, obviously. Very painful to laugh when a person has broken ribs. You have to know what the person likes. I remember once when my shver was lying in the hospital, there was a young Talmud Chacham who came to visit him, somebody who we had a kesher with, and he came and started telling over to my shver, who enjoyed a good divar Torah. He started telling him these complex divrei Torah, and he had answers like, you know, you come to Fenford, Rebbe Kiva, Eger, Shilin, Uri. My shver, I looked at my shver, his eyes started rolling back, and he was like looking at me, please, like, help, you know, like, and eventually, what my shver did, he just pretended to fall asleep, yeah, and waited for the, and I obviously took the opportunity and said, oh, I guess, you know, he's not unfortunately available anymore to, you know, enjoy your wonderful divrei Torah, but, you know, so he went out, and then my shver automatically woke up. Lamaisa. Another thing which is important is shopping or cleaning his home. Sometimes a person who's lying in a hospital is worried about the neglect of his home. He knows that there could be post building up in the post box, which is not very good. It's a good invitation for Ganovim, obviously. Empty his post box, a practical thing to think about. And to see that there's no fruit, no vegetables, things which can go bad in his fridge. Very simple things, but these are things which are listed by the Chofetz Chaim a person should be concerned with and look into to make the person you're visiting to feel much better. And the most important thing of all, which actually it's brought down in your Adeya, if you don't do this, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, is to daven for the Cholim. To daven for him. It's good to take care of a person's physical needs, but we all know that we're Biyad Hashem. And the refuah, obviously, is only Biyad Hashem. And that's why it's essential to daven for him. And even Chazal mentioned that it's kedai not to visit in the early morning when a person generally feels good, because then he might see, oh, he's not so bad, I won't daven so earnestly. Don't visit him in the night, because then he'll look so horrible, the pain is so great. So you'll say, oh, he's already beyond hope. They even mentioned visit him in the midday. Midday, Lamais, is the time to visit. And to daven in his presence, to show him that you care and you really, you know, saying to heal him, whatever it might be. I'll take the last minute just to share with you something amazing and beautiful, which I heard from Reb Pesach Krohn, a beautiful story. Reb Pesach Krohn was approached by a journalist, and the journalist was somebody who used to ask the same question to 50 popular Jewish personalities. And he asked Reb Pesach Krohn, tell me, if you could invite any three people to come to your Shabbos table, who would you invite from the beginning of time, from Adam Arishon till Mamish till Rav Chaim Kanievsky? Who would you invite to your table? So Pesach was thinking, wow, you know, like, who would I invite? Maybe Rashi, because, you know, Rashi knows everything. He knows all the Rashis, you know. Who else would I invite? Some people say, I invite Aaron Akoyan. Aaron Akoyan, maybe he'll make Shalom Bias between me and my wife, you know. Everybody has all kinds of ideas who to bring. And Lemaisa, so Reb Pesach Krohn asked, you know, tell me one of the best answers you got. Who'd you speak to? So he said, I spoke to Rav David Feinstein Zatzal. Rav David Feinstein, the son of the famous Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav David was also a Gadol B'Torah that took over after his father. And he, so you, what, you went to Rav David? Yeah, I happened to bump into him in the street. I asked him, who would you invite to your table? So you want to hear who Rav David Feinstein said he would invite? You're probably going to think Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Akiva. He said, I would invite three poor people who don't have where to eat. That's what Rav David Feinstein said. Which shows the beauty of what's the Yiddish cook. The perspective of a Jew is not what can I get out of it. How do I max out the situation for my benefit? A Yid is thinking, how can I give? How can I benefit? And that, as we mentioned, was the underlying yesod of Achnasas Orchim, and that's what we have to be thinking about in doing these mitzvahs, Bein Odom L'Cheira, Bein Odom L'Chaveira, and Bezras Hashem, as we show our care and our love for our fellow Yidden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mida Keneged Mida will look down and be Merachem on Klal Yisrael. Thank you so much.